We were repeatedly told that the proximity of our main Munich synagogue to the Künstlerhaus in Herzog Max Straße displeased the Führer Hitler. On June 8, 1938, I addressed the committee of the German Association of Rabbis. During the meeting, I was called to the Ministry of the Interior. The previous evening, Hitler had attended some festivity or other at the Künstlerhaus. The ministry spokesman informed me that the synagogue was considered a traffic obstruction and was to be demolished the next day. I objected that there was virtually no traffic there and that the synagogue, with the Frauenkirche in the background, was a notable city landmark. The demolition of the synagogue by the construction firm Moll was to begin on the following day and to be finished by July 9th, the Day of German Art. In the afternoon, deeply moved, the entire community gathered in the synagogue with Dr. Beerwald and a number of other rabbis. The prayer Avinu Malkenu, Our Father, Our King, was spoken, a final Kaddish, and the Torah rolls were conveyed in solemn procession to the administrative building. The next day, demolition of the synagogue began. I stood on the steps of the administrative building with our chief cantor, Professor Kirschner, and watched the work of destruction. The cry sounded in our ears, "Take cover! Blasting is about to begin!" We weren't allowed to move into centrally located or architecturally outstanding buildings. We acquired premises not far from the Theresienwiese at Lindwurmstraße 125. We set up our administrative facilities there. There was a machine room on the ground floor that we turned into an artistically unpretentious, dignified place of worship with seating for 500. This place of worship was the center of the community until its demise. Two splendid urn-like vessels stood at the entrance. When later an SS supervisor asked in a provocative tone where we had gotten them from, I replied, "The gift of His Majesty King Ludwig I and his consort at the inauguration of the first Munich synagogue in Westernriederstraße on April 21, 1826. November 9, 1938, was a disaster. It was the black day for the Jewish community on German soil. Our administrative premises in Lindwurmstraße were completely devastated that night. Typewriters, money, seats, and the extremely valuable library were all taken away. Officials subordinate to the SS took down the details with me on site, making cynical remarks and denying that they'd been involved or that they knew the culprits. In fact, the destruction was the work of the local SA branch office. I had to accept the report in writing and renounce all claims to damages from the Gestapo. Simultaneously, there was a big roundup of the male community members to the age of 70, sometimes older, rabbis included, members of the community council and officials. They were arrested and taken to Dachau concentration camp. The treasurer Hechinger was arrested in my apartment and a council member, Dr. Perlmutter, on the staircase. The SS men asked where I was, but right then I was with the district party leader. They returned the next day. I said I was the chairman of the Israelite community in Munich. The man in uniform cried, "You're coming with me," and indicated that I should follow him. To prove I was over 70, I drew a birth certificate from my pocket. The SS man saw a slip of paper near the telephone with a number on it. "What's this number?" he asked. "It's the number of your district party leader, whom I saw yesterday." The man called him and received a reply. Then he said, "You can stay." But without another word, he cut the telephone cable. Henceforth, the administration of the community and association assumed unusual forms. For a while, its seat was my apartment at Keplerstraße 1, not far from the Führer's apartment on the edge of the city. All the needy from city and region came there, particularly the elderly and women who had been robbed of their husbands, then other communities in the country. My wife Lise kept the outfit in running order. In 1933, after 28 years of work, Lise had to resign from her position on the board of the Mother's Shelter Association and Mother's Home that she had built up. The business side was looked after by our very capable female office staff. People and their affairs were attended to in every corner of the apartment, including the bathroom and the kitchen. Then the owner of the apartment, a life insurance company in Karlsruhe, served us notice. Österreich, a friend who was immigrating, left us a Swiss-owned apartment at Leopoldstrasse 106.